Let's turn back to Revelation 22 and just pick up where we left off this morning. The messenger that had spoken to John made this statement that we just looked at a moment ago. These sayings are faithful and true. These sayings. Everything else is a lie. Everything else but God's Word is a lie. Because everything else has got an ulterior motive. You think about that. Everything else that I'd say to you may be true in its essence, have some truth to it, but it's got an ulterior motive. It's deceitful. Everything. The only thing that's true, that's got any honor to it, is God's Word. That's bottom line. These words are trustworthy. Everything else, you can cast doubt on it. I can mean to come through for you. I meant to. I meant to do it. I meant to be there. I meant to follow through. But I'll tell you what, it just, nothing is trustworthy, nothing true, but God's Word. These sayings were sent by God, by God's angel, the Lord Jesus Christ, the messenger of the covenant. God has promised to fulfill His will, and He sent the Lord Jesus Christ, the one in whom all has been entrusted. All things were done by Him and for Him. Without Him, nothing was done that was done. These are the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Boy, we are a blessed people this morning to be able to be here. I was standing in Walmart the other day, last Sunday afternoon, and I got to looking around, and I got to wondering, could it be that of all these people that I'm looking at, as far as I know, But as far as I know, if God's Word, since God's Word is so, and God's Word has set forth that this is going to be the evidence of those that He has called out of darkness, they're going to believe His Word. They're going to bow to Him. They're going to bow to what He says is so. As far as I know, could it be that Glenda and I was the only two in that whole place that I was looking at that I could see? Could it be that we was the only two out of that whole store that God had shown mercy to? Somebody said, now that's the most arrogant thing I've ever heard in my life. Based on this Word, based on what God says is so, and the evidence of God's people is that God Almighty is going to reveal Himself in His sovereignty. Unless Almighty God calls a man out of darkness through the preaching of this gospel, those things are so. Now, men can call me arrogant. That's fine. I've been called that before. But I'm telling you, somebody say, well, are you saying? I said, no, I'm telling you what God said. And that's what God said, and that's where I'm going to stand. By the grace of God, I'm going to stand right there. These sayings are faithful and true. And He says in verse 7, behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Now that's a blessed man. Blessed by Almighty God. Behold, I come quickly. Four times in this book, the Lord had said, I come quickly. Four times. Three of the times it was to the churches. Told them, I come quickly. And in Revelation 16:15, he said, Behold, I come as a thief. When you don't expect it. When you're not truthfully looking. We say we're looking, and we are. But I'm telling you, you think about it. Do you expect that before this message is over, that he'll come back? You think he'll just be over? All of a sudden, just the whole world's standing before the judgment seat of Christ. You think that's going to happen before this service is over? He comes. Behold, I come quickly. That word right there, when it says, I come quickly, that word right there is a word that is the present tense. It doesn't mean I'm going to, though I know he shall. But that word is a present tense. I come quickly. He is always accompanying, is what it means. He's always set. He's always present, though his presence is not recognized. I come quickly. His coming is without delay. His coming is with ease. Men oppose him, but they won't in that day. This statement means that he's always in all things, ordering the events of this life for his honor and the elect's good. I come quickly right now. You know, we're looking for him to come in the second coming. He's always coming. In all things. That statement right there means I'm always present. I'm always doing all. He's ordering all that. I come quickly. Behold that truth. Call attention to it. We look for him. We wait on him. That word, imperative active. I don't know what all that means. But the Greek, when you look up that word, that's what it says. That's an imperative active word. That basically, it means it's right now. I come quickly. Always coming. But the second faithful and truthful saying is this. He's faithful. He says, Behold, I come quickly. But secondly, blessed is he that keepeth the saying of the prophecy of the book. That is the prophesying or the sayings. Blessed is he that keeps it. Right here. Blessed is he that keeps it. Blessed is he that believes it. That's what he's saying. Blessed is that man that God's given a heart to believe it, to keep it, to maintain it. The setting forth of God's purpose, God's pleasure, God's will to redeem his people, those that he's everlastingly loved and chosen and called. Blessed are those that keeps the saying of the prophecy of this book. Let me show you. Turn over to John 6:28. Blessed are those that keep it. Somebody said, Oh, how do I keep the Word of God? How do I keep it? I'm so frail. I just don't, how do I keep it? John 6, verse 28. Then said they unto him, What shall we do that we might work the works of God? And Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he has sent. Is it my faith that keeps me? No, it is his faithfulness that keeps me, and God has given me a heart to believe that I can't keep myself and that he keeps me. That's what I believe. I believe him. That's what God's people believe. They're not looking to their faith, Gary. They look to Christ, who is faithful. They believe Him. This is the work. Blessed are those that keeps the saying of the prophecy of this book. What is the prophecy? What is the sayings? What is the setting forth of this book say? It's saying we're not able, and He is. It's saying He's faithful. Faithful to His covenant. Faithful to His promise. He's faithful. And He keeps us in spite of our inability. He keeps us. In the midst of our inability, He keeps us. Those who continually are plagued with the presence of sin. And I know we are. I know we are. If we say we have no sin, we make God a liar. If we say we have no sin, the presence of sin is here. Paul said that. We've quoted that so many times. There is in me, he said, that is in my flesh, in that old man, in that old nature. There dwells no good thing. No good. Those who possess a heart that guards, those that possess a new man, those that possess a new mind, a new creation. Now we talk about the new birth, and it's so. The Lord told Nicodemus, "You must be born again." There's a new nature, and somehow still we get it in our mind that somehow God has given us a nature that somehow this old man, in which we were born in Adam, somehow perceives and kind of grasp hold of it. That is not so. There's two natures. You take a dog and put the nature of a cat in him. Now there's two natures. Now, that's two different. That's two entirely, and they're contrary. You know, one of them hates the other one, and the other one hates the other one, and they're back and forth. Two natures. It wasn't a dog that kind of started acting like a cat. There was two natures. There's two natures there. Blessed are those that keep the sayings of the prophecy of the book. Blessed are those that God has granted faith to believe what God has done in a new birth, a new man. Blessed are those. Blessed are those who maintain and hold fast this prophecy. There's some of you that are sitting here this morning that knows exactly what I'm talking about. And you know just exactly what I mean about wrestling. There is a nature in you that loves God, that loves His Word, that believes what He said. You believe it, you trust Him, you bow to Him, and you see an old nature in you that still resists it, wants to war against it, fights against it. Man, that old nature that's saying, man, alive. 35 more minutes? You know what I'm saying? It just, hates it. Blessed. That is blessed. That means you've been well spoken of by God. That's what blessed. That's the essence of the word blessed. Well spoken of. Well spoken. Blessed. Bless you. Bless you. That's what it is. Well spoken of. They are possessors of God's mercy and compassion, in that God has not imputed or charged their sins, their iniquity to them. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin, won't charge him with it, won't make him answer for it. That's what it means, bad. Blessed is that. What a blessing. The Lord Jesus Christ made sin of His people, made what His people are. And God Almighty judged Him under the wrath, indescribable wrath of Almighty God, dealt with the sin, the guilt of His people in their substitute. Blessed, blessed, blessed is the man. We say, "Oh, I'm blessed. I got a good job." That's good. That job's gonna be gone. Forget it. Oh, I'm a blessed man. I got stuff. That's good. That's good. But that stuff ain't going to be here. I tell you, blessed. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord won't impute sin. Won't charge with sin. And these blessed manifest the mercy of God. God Almighty has given them that new heart. They recognize their need of a substitute. They're poor in spirit. They know their need. I need one to answer for me. I need one that put away my guilt. I need one that stands before Almighty God and intercedes for me. I need one that pleads His own merit on my behalf. I need that. Poor in spirit. Helpless. Needful. They see their need. They're meek people. What does that mean, meek? They bowed. They bowed to God's providence. They bowed to God's working. They bowed. They're meek. They bow to Him. They rest in Him. He is their master. And you know, they hunger and thirst after righteousness. You that believe. You're sitting there struggling within yourself. I know you are. But there is within you that believe, there's a nature that's sitting here and you're thinking to yourself, I want to hear the next thing God's got to say. I want to hear. I want to hear. Tell me one more time. Tell me again. Tell me how He's put away my guilt. Tell me how He's not going to charge me with sin. Tell me how the Lord was made sin for me. Tell me one more time. God, you're telling me that God chose me and set His affection on me. That's right. They hunger. They thirst after Him. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Verse 8, and I, John, I saw these things and I heard them. And when I had heard them, when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. John not only looked, that is, perceived, regarded, and took heed, but he said, I heard them. He understood. He understood them. He understood what I heard. Job said in Job 13:1, lo, mine eye has seen, it's perceived it. I've seen all this, and mine ear hath heard it and understood it. A blessed people. Number one, God's given them a heart to hear the Word of God. But He's given them a heart to perceive it and understand it. And when they hear it and they understand it, they come to this conclusion. Who is a God like unto thee? Where is your God, David? My God is in the heavens. And He's done whatsoever He's pleased. That's God. That's God I serve. After the way that men call heresy, Paul said, that's the way I worship God. I just bow. Do you understand the depth of Him? No, I don't. But I understand something. I understand God's shown mercy to one that needed mercy. I understand that. I understand. Oh, he said, I saw these things, I heard them. To what does seeing and hearing those things refer? They refer to the prophecy, the sayings of this book. It sets forth, and this is what this book sets forth. I kind of came down to three things that I think the prophecy, the sayings of this book set forth. Number one, they set forth that God's sovereign. Now that's just, if you want to get down to the brass tacks, what does this book say about God? It says this, God's no beggar. God is no beggar. God's not trying to do anything. He is not attempting to do anything. If God is trying to save somebody, then He's not God. He's not God if He's trying to do something. Almighty God that spoke this world into existence. Almighty God that sustains it by the word of His power. You think God Almighty, who looks at His angels and charges them with folly, you think God Almighty is going to leave in the hands of a nobody eternal salvation? No, sir. Almighty God does as He will. But what if He's willing to save somebody? Then He's going to save them. He does as He will in the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And no man stays His hand. Well, I thought if a man resisted Him with his free will, well, you thought wrong. You thought wrong. Show me one verse in the Bible, one verse to where Almighty God is waiting on a man to do anything. One verse. The prophecy of this book sets forth that God is God. The second thing that I know this book sets forth is that the Lord Jesus Christ is God's Son, His beloved Lamb, in whom He has placed everything. Everything. All power. All power. As I've said before, how much does that leave for me and you? None. None. Did not the Lord say, without me you can do nothing? Without me you can do nothing. All power is given unto the Son. And thirdly, I know this, that the prophecy of this book set forth that God has a particular people that shall endure in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they shall be saved. God's going to save them. God is sovereign. God Almighty has got a Lamb, and it's the blessed Son. And God's got a people, and He's going to save them. That just sums it up. What's the prophecy? Everything concerning that is what this book's all about. God is going to bring honor to Himself. Turn back. I just quoted Job 13:1. Just turn back to Job chapter 12. Just before Job 13:1, I want to read Job 12, verse 21 to 25, the last few verses before when Job said, "Lo, mine eye hath seen all this, and mine ear hath heard and understood it." This is what was said just before that. Job 12, 21. Job says, speaking of the Lord, He poureth contempt upon princes and weakeneth the strength of the mighty. He discovereth deep things out of darkness and bringeth out to light the shadow of death. He increaseth the nations and destroyeth them. He enlargeth the nations and straighteneth them again. He taketh away the heart of the chief of the people of the earth and causeth them to wander in a wilderness where there's no way. They grope in the dark without light, and He maketh them to stagger like a drunken man. That's God. God can raise up a nation, He put a nation down. Almighty God can move nations according to His will for the good of His people and according to His purpose. He's God. What's going to happen in this world? Turmoil, whatever God's purposed. That's what's going to happen. What about all these nations and these atom bombs and stuff like that? What's going to happen? Whatever the Lord has purposed. That's what's going to happen. What's going to happen today? Whatever He's purposed. See, that's God. That's the God we serve. Oh, upon hearing that, John had just heard. He said, "I behold quickly. Blessed he that keeps the sayings of the prophecy of this book." And John said, "And I saw those things. I heard them." And he said, "And when I heard them," John did something that was very ignorant, and I don't doubt his sincerity. But you know the Scripture, it brings out what a man really is. You know, it doesn't sugarcoat anything. It just brings out what a David truly is, and it brings out what a Marvin truly is, and it brings out just exactly what you are, and it brings out who God is. Word of God is so. It's faithful. He said, I heard and heard these. I saw these things, heard them, and when I heard and had seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel, which showed me these things. You know, I know that God's people are frail creatures. I understand that. I know they're subject to fall. I know that. No matter how blessed, how taught, how sincere a man is, man's a frail creature. He's frail. Liable to mistakes. Liable to idolatry. That's what he did. He was going to bow down and worship that angel. The second time he had done that. Look over 19:10, Revelation 19:10, just a few pages back. Revelation 19:10, I fell at the feet to worship him, fell at his feet to worship. He said unto me, see thou do it not, I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that hath the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Sadly, but truthfully, we know that every believer is capable because of the presence of sin that's there, of not believing God. The sin that doth so easily beset us. I mean, to just unbelievable how quickly. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. God's people, because of the presence of sin, they fail. And they see it. And they know it. But I'll tell you this, they don't make a trade of wickedness. They don't sit there and use it as an excuse. Well, because I'm a sinner, it just doesn't matter. Yes, it does matter. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Well, it doesn't matter the way I act. Yes, it does. It doesn't matter if I'm dishonorable before Almighty God. Yes, it does. Well, I'm just a sinner. It matters. They war and they strive against that which is rebellious before Almighty God. They strive against it. John was going to fall down and worship this angel. Proverbs 24:16 says, for a just man falleth. A just man, a justified man, falleth seven times and riseth up again. But the wicked shall fall into mischief. That is to say, and not get up. God's people struggle. You show me a believer that has a war going on within him, and I'll show you one that hates what he is by that old nature. Jeremiah said, I loathe myself. I hate myself. I hate myself. Hate that old. Oh, wretched man, Paul says that I am. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? This stinking, rebellious nature. Who shall separate me? I'll tell you who. God will. In death, God will. He'll take it away. The believer, though pressed down in his mind and body through the presence of sin, when he sees his failings, he emerges taught through that. Taught. You think back. Think back on this morning. Think back on a moment ago. Think back on last week or last year. And let me ask you this. Even in your failings, has not God taught you through that His faithfulness? The Scripture says all things work together for good. You mean even my failings? Even your failings. God teaching you He's faithful. You're not. But He is. He keeps you. And if He didn't keep you, you wouldn't be kept. I can tell you that. Verse 9, then saith He unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren, the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, you worship God. Oh, how different is the attitude of all that God has kept in a proper and an honoring position. Satan would have had the Lord Jesus Christ in the desert fall down and worship Him. That's. Do you know? Hear me well, because I mean just exactly what I'm about to say. I mean this, so help me, I mean this. The thought or the belief that a man has a free will, a will that can dictate when or not that he comes to Christ, is the thought that God is to worship him. Because that thought says, I will do what I want to do when I want to do it. My will is the will that matters. If God wants me to do something and I have a free will to do it, whenever I just say, that's saying, I'm the boss. I make the last decision. I'm the one that says what's going to happen. That is the very essence of Satan's thoughts, to have Christ worship him. Now you think about that. Free will. Free will is what Satan did when God kicked him out of heaven. Satan said, I will exalt myself above the Most High. I will sit. I will. And God kicked him out. Told somebody, I said, you take a pyramid, call this rebellion. Here's the base, the very pinnacle. Up here at the top is free will. Man's free will against Almighty God. God is the boss, and not you, and not me. That angel says, don't do that. Don't do that. See thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant. I'm your fellow servant. Whether this was one of the elect angels that God kept from falling, possibly one of the cherubim, I don't know. He doesn't say. So therefore, for me to speculate, I know it was a messenger, and I know it wasn't the Lord Jesus Christ. I know that. Because he said, don't do it. No, if that had been Christ, he would have been worthy of worship. Don't do it. I am your fellow servant. My purpose is to honor God in the capacity that God's placed me. That's what he's saying. I am a fellow servant and of thy brethren, the prophets. As much a servant in the position that he held as the brethren and the prophets were in their position. God has called me to be a pastor, preacher. Does that give me the right to be worshipped? Absolutely not. I am your fellow servant. I am your servant. I'm your servant for Christ's sake. Your servant. The servant of God's people. The servant of God to God's people. I'm your fellow servant. And where God's called you, you that believe, God's called you to the position that you're in. That's your position. A vital position. Do it not. For I am thy fellow servant and of the brethren and them that keep the sayings of this book. Those which keep the sayings of this book are those from verse 7 which watch gladness and maintain their place of distinction by God's grace. Blessed are those. And this angel maintained, set forth his position according to God's purpose. Paul said in 1 Timothy 5:21, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus and the elect angels that they that you, thou, observe those things without preferring one to another. The elect angels, those that God kept from falling, though they were not in union with Christ in the sense as pertaining to redemption, for he took not on him the nature of angels, those third of the angels that fell, Christ came not to redeem any of them. He came not with the nature of angels, but he came in the form and the fashion of a man. And he humbled himself before God. This angel that was kept from falling was kept by God's grace. He was the messenger. He said, I'm your fellow servant. Don't worship me. You worship God. That is, pay the due respect and homage to him under a sense of obligation. I looked up that word. I said that because that was the definition. Worship. It has to do with the kissing of the hand. Kiss the hand. But it has to do with paying and giving respect out of a sense of obligation. I owe him respect. I owe him. And I don't know how. But he who does, he who has honored the Father, he who has bowed to the Father's will, as a man that came into this world, and as a man walked this earth, the God-man, the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, the God-man, by one man, the obedient man, there's been one obedient man. And that man has honored God. That man has worshipped God. That man has worshipped that man, the God-man. He worshipped God. Obedient. And that which he accomplished, he charged to me. And in that day, when the Father says unto all that he's called to himself, the faithful, and hear him say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. How shall we be considered faithful any other way than by the imputed righteousness of Christ? How shall we? We won't. Salvations of the Lord. In the person of our blessed Savior, I'll tell you this. We worship. We worship God. We worship Him. We worship Him in a substitute. We worship Him in our federal head. God Almighty is dealing with His people in one man. One man. Well, I thought he was dealing with one man. One man. Now you think about it. If Almighty God is dealing with me on the merit, on the accomplishment, in the glory of one man, the Lord Jesus Christ, and he has said of him, that's my beloved son. And I'm well pleased with him. If he's dealing with me in him, I worship God. I worship him in the Lord Jesus Christ. And knowing that Almighty God is dealing with me in the person of my substitute gives me great comfort to know I rest in him. I look to him. And the believer says, when he says, I come quickly, the believer constantly says, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Come quickly. All right, Gary.